Just a heads up, this episode includes discussions of sexual assault, so please take care while listening. Sean Combs has been one of the most powerful people in hip-hop for decades.
Sean Diddy Combs, he's also been known as Puff Daddy or Puffy or P. Diddy. He's a superstar record producer, an artist, and a hip-hop mogul.
That is Anne Branigan. She's a staff writer at The Post.
And he's most well-known from his work in the 90s when he founded the record label Bad Boy, which signed some of the biggest acts in hip-hop, you know, most notably Notorious B.I.G.
Combs has been out of the limelight for some time, but recently he has been back in the headlines, first for several lawsuits that were filed against him over the last few months alleging sexual assault, and then, just a few weeks ago, there was another development.
Two raids, two homes, one iconic music producer. Tonight, Sean P. Diddy Combs is back in the headlines as his mansions in Los Angeles and Miami are raided by Homeland Security.
Heavily armored federal agents making their way into the home on Mapleton Drive associated with rap mogul Sean Diddy Combs and his production company, Bad Boy Films. Dozens of agents searched the property for hours.
A couple weeks ago, his homes were raided by the Department of Homeland Security, and this happened after a slew of lawsuits against him have been filed. And these lawsuits include accusations that involve physical abuse, sexual assault, and sex trafficking. Any mention of sort of sexual assault and sex trafficking and physical abuse comes from, you know, a set of lawsuits that have all been filed within the last 5 months. And these are allegations that are explicitly written out in those lawsuits. Diddy is a really monumental figure in hip-hop, and so these allegations, even before the federal investigation, they really did a lot to recast his legacy, and this will especially be true if charges do come forward.
Combs has denied all accusations made against him, but since he's such a prominent person in the music industry, Anne says these allegations could lead to a larger reckoning about misogyny, violence, and the exploitation of women.
We're almost 7 years after the Me Too movement, and the music industry is still undergoing this reckoning it's bigger than Diddy. So the sort of consequences that we saw happen in Hollywood, we haven't really seen in the music industry, but with these accusations against Diddy and other top music execs, the entire industry is on notice.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Wednesday, April 10th. Today, Anne explains what we know about the allegations against Sean Diddy Combs and what federal agents may have been searching for. So paint me a little bit of a picture of, like, Sean Combs and his career and why he was one of the biggest stars of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Sure. Well, his career really starts out with a lot of momentum when he joins the music industry. So he quickly becomes known for his ability to spot talent and develop it. He worked with Mary J. Blige and Jodeci, and those were some of the biggest R&B acts of the 90s. And within a few short years, he founds the record label Bad Boy. And that very quickly becomes one of the premier hip-hop record labels, mostly on the back of the Notorious B.I.G., also known as Biggie. And he's still regarded as one of the greatest MCs of all time. And we see that not just with Biggie, but he has a great ear and a great eye for trends. He helmed a lot of 90s-era classics, so Juicy.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine.
One More Chance, Hypnotize. These are songs that if you grew up in the 90s, you know, you can probably recite them front to back. He gained more attention after the East Coast-West Coast rivalry of the mid-90s, which unfortunately ended with Biggie's death. But even after that, Diddy really breaks out as an artist in his own right and only becomes more popular, especially as hip-hop takes more of a center stage role in pop culture.
And then he goes beyond just music, right? Like, he was big in fashion, he was big in Hollywood, and, like, explain to me how he kind of created this, like, empire.
Yeah, well, he was known as a very savvy businessman from the start. And you really see that in his ability to leverage his popularity and his riches to expand his empire. So he moves into fashion with the label Sean John, and really capitalizes on, you know, the way fashion was paying attention to rappers, right?
I have to say, I think back to middle school and I like remember every like teenage boy in my middle school wearing Sean John t-shirts, and like it was very popular.
I mean, you had white boys wearing do-rags. So
yeah.
And you know, we can partially blame Diddy for that. And he makes these brand partnerships with Ciroc. So, you know, he adds sort of alcohol into his empire and TV. He's on reality shows. He's a judge on a singing competition. So all of this combined together, by 2022, Forbes estimates that his worth is about $1 billion.
Which is remarkable. But also, I think the reason that number kind of surprises a lot of people, I would say, is that it doesn't seem like Diddy was really, out in the world in a relevant way in the last decade. I mean, what has he been up to since that heyday when he was more of a kind of public figure constantly in your face?
Yeah. Well, you're right that he hasn't been in the limelight in the same way. You know, in the 90s, we were seeing him in the music videos, right? You still see him at industry events like Beyonce and Jay-Z's Grammys brunch. But he's not front and center producing as much as he used to, and he's not appearing on TV in the same way he used to. He did release an album in 2023, but it didn't get as much attention as his previous work. He was nominated for a Grammy for it. But he also, I think, quite notably, owned the publishing rights for a lot of his artists' work. And so there's a lot that he did in the 90s that even if you don't see him doing work today, he was still making money from those things.
So that was where things were with Diddy / Sean Combs up until relatively recently. But then you have this series of headlines that I think got a lot of people's attention. And let's start with the news about this raid on his homes by federal agents. Tell me what happened there and why is the federal government investigating Sean Combs?
So what we saw was investigators from the Department of Homeland Security. We saw them conducting raids on Diddy's homes. So we saw footage of the raid coming out of Los Angeles, but there were also raids conducted in Miami, and this was done in concert with local law enforcement officials. It's important to note that DHS didn't formally announce what the investigation was about since it's ongoing, but DHS is responsible for investigating allegations of human trafficking. And that seems to be the most relevant connection here because there are lawsuits that have come out against Combs in recent months that allege that sex trafficking occurred.
Can you explain a little bit more about that, what those lawsuits are and how they allege that Sean Combs was involved in sex trafficking?
So there have been 6 lawsuits as of today that have been filed against Diddy alleging a range of abuses, including physical and sexual assault and sex trafficking in the last 5 months. And in at least 3 of them, there are accusations of sex trafficking. The earliest comes in 2003, and it was filed by an anonymous woman. She was 17 at the time. So in her court document, she's referred to as Jane Doe. And she alleges that Diddy essentially flew her out from Detroit to New York, where he and 2 other men, and there really is no more polite way to say this, but she accuses him of essentially gang raping her. And then she gets put on a flight back to Detroit after that. The accusations or the allegations that we know the most about probably are from Cassie, who is Diddy's former partner, a R&B singer who was on his record label. And she alleged that not only had physical abuse and sexual abuse been happening for years in their relationship, but that he would also traffic her sort of around the country, that he would force her to solicit male sex workers and, you know, sort of coerce her through drugs and alcohol to engage in these sex acts. And finally, we have the most recent lawsuit, which actually covers a time from 2022 to 2023, so really quite recent. And this lawsuit was brought forward by a former producer who worked on Diddy's most recent album. And he alleges really similar things to what Cassie alleges, that he and other staffers were made to solicit sex workers for parties that happened all across the United States. And so even though DHS hasn't formally announced what the investigation is about, you know, we have other sources and we have these allegations that kind of point us toward what some of the concerns there might be. I want to explain why we're using the names of several people here who have alleged sexual assault. So the Washington Post has a policy of not identifying alleged victims of sexual abuse without their consent. In the case of Cassie, whose full name is Cassandra Ventura, and Rodney Jones, who is a producer who goes by the name Little Rod, they were the ones who filed these lawsuits.
And when it comes to these lawsuits, how has Sean Combs and his attorneys responded to those lawsuits, and have they denied the allegations that were made in these lawsuits?
Sure. They have vehemently denied all the allegations. So Combs says that pretty much, you know, all of this is fiction, none of this is true. Even though he denied the allegations with Cassie, he did settle that lawsuit the next day.
And we don't know the terms of the settlement?
We don't know the terms of the settlement, no. Mm. You know, he said he wished to sort of handle it in an amicable situation. But the resulting allegations he has flat out denied, and he's referred to them as a cash grab.
After the break, I ask Anne about what federal agents may have been searching for in these raids of Combs' properties. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if there is this sense that this federal investigation is related to some of the circumstances described in these lawsuits, like, what were these federal agents looking for? What did they take with them that I imagine would they intend to help aid their investigation?
So we know the investigation has to be pretty far along to get to the point of federal agents raiding your home. Now, the affidavit has not been made publicly available, but we know some things that may be relevant because they were mentioned in these lawsuits. So, for example, Little Rod, his former producer, accused Combs of having hidden cameras in all of his homes. And the footage on these cameras were used as leverage over people who participated in some of these alleged sex parties. And so something like video footage, if it exists, would be really, really important to building a case against him. And this theme of video footage also comes up in some of the other lawsuits. So the claims are that not only did he allegedly commit these acts, but that he filmed them as well.
Wow. To be clear at this point, Diddy has not been arrested, and he's not been charged. What do we know about the timeline of this investigation or when we might learn more about what federal agents either have found or what they believe might have happened at some of Combs' houses?
Well, there's a lot here that we don't know, and I think it's important to keep that in mind. So we do have sources who have told us that this investigation is related to sex trafficking. But what we don't know is how big of a pool they're looking at. We don't know how big this investigation is and who else it might extend to. Now, the understanding is that if it is a sex trafficking investigation, that charges could come relatively quickly. And that's according to some legal experts that we spoke to. And the reason why charges might be accelerated is because when you have a sex trafficking investigation, you really want to be able to protect any potential victims. But we also don't know if there are other charges that are being investigated. And what we've seen in those lawsuits is there are kind of nods to other illegal behavior. So we don't know what the scope of their investigation is. We don't know how many people they're looking at. And we also don't know what's happening behind the scenes. Combs is a very rich man. He has, you know, the ability to retain the best legal representation in the country. And we're not sure whether, you know, they're trying to reach a resolution behind the scenes that could bypass charges altogether. So there's truly just a lot of things at play.
And specifically when it comes to this raid and the investigation that appears to be happening from federal law enforcement, has Sean Combs responded to that or, like, spoken out at all about the raid and about his reaction to any, like, potential allegations that might be coming?
Sure. Well, we know through his lawyers, they found the raids excessive. They thought, you know, that it was over the top. They deny any sort of wrongdoing on Combs's part. Now, the message Combs has been sending hasn't necessarily been a verbal one, but, you know, we've seen in, you know, the days and weeks after the raid, we've seen him biking across, you know, Miami, looking very relaxed. You know, he's on the golf course. And probably the biggest example of that is a post that he shared on social media on his Instagram page. It's a clip of his music video for Victory. And the clip shows him basically outrunning armed police, just kind of gloating about emerging victorious, right? And so he shares that clip with the caption, "Bad boy for life." And so the pose that he's striking, at least publicly, is one of being unbothered and defiant.
So, Anne, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, but these lawsuits and this investigation, it's not just about Diddy. I mean, obviously, he has famous friends who spend time around him, and it seems like his orbit, there are stakes in this for those individuals, too. Can you describe a little bit about how these cases could have an impact on other people that we are familiar with?
Well, it gets a bit complicated, so we're going to wade through this, I think, very carefully. So there are a number of people named in the lawsuits, but not all of them have any connection to any illegal activity, right? So one example of this is Prince Harry, as mentioned, in Lil Rod's lawsuit. But Prince Harry has nothing to do with any of these allegations. He's named merely as an example of Combs's reach, of his influence. You know, a member of the royal family has been to his house. The thing that we have to focus on are the people who are named as having participated in alleged illegal activity, either through aiding and abetting or being present. So there's a few really big accusations. The one that comes to mind first is Irv Pierre, who was the president of Bad Boy Records. He's named as a co-defendant in a couple lawsuits, actually. And his response has been very similar to Combs' response in that he denies all of the allegations and has called these claims a desperate attempt for financial gain. You also have staffers who are named as co-defendants in these lawsuits. These allegations also extend to Diddy's family. Two of his sons have been named as co-defendants in these lawsuits that allege sex trafficking and physical abuse. And through a family attorney, they have denied these allegations. You know, they've called them manufactured and false. With regard to these other parties, they've either denied their involvement or have not responded or, you know, or acknowledged the allegations. We haven't had anybody who has acknowledged any wrongdoing. And the thing we have to remember, too, at his heyday, Diddy was really well known. One of his personas was as this sort of flamboyant party boy figure. Everybody in Hollywood wanted to go to the white parties in the Hamptons. And so Diddy is somebody who's extremely well connected. And so the question that arises is, in how many of these parties could there have been illegal activity, and who else could have participated in it?
I think a lot of people who are either listening to this now or who have been seeing the headlines about this federal raid at Sean Combs' house, that it brings to mind R. Kelly. Of course, you know, we saw that unfold over years. R. Kelly, who is now serving a 31-year prison sentence for a conviction of federal racketeering and sex trafficking. And I want to be clear that, like, that is a completely separate case and a completely different situation. But I do wonder whether R. Kelly and how long it took for that conviction to happen, whether that's informing how the public is seeing what's happening now with Diddy.
Right. I think that's certainly possible because there seem to be these broader similarities. So as you mentioned, it's important to note that there is no case against Diddy just yet. What we have is an ongoing investigation. But there are certainly sort of similarities in the circumstances. So Diddy's facing allegations of abuse and trafficking that really run throughout almost the entirety of his career. And that's similar to what we saw with R. Kelly. And another thing that's relevant here is that these were federal authorities investigating these cases, which speaks to their scope.
So, Anne, what are the questions that you're going to be asking going forward as all of this continues to unfold?
So if charges are brought forward, what's the scope? Who else is named? Because sex trafficking, that isn't like a one-person job, you know, clearly. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly received federal racketeering charges. That isn't outside of the realm of possibility here. And there was other illegal behavior that was nodded to in some of these lawsuits, potentially alleged drug or gun trafficking as well. And so we really have to see what comes forward, if anything. And I think from there, the question becomes, well, who else knew or participated or looked the other way?
Anne, thank you so much for explaining your reporting on this.
Thank you.
Anne Branigan is a style reporter at The Post. Before we go, some news out of Arizona, where the state's Supreme Court has cleared the way for a near-total ban on abortion. The court ruled yesterday that Arizona can enforce a law from 1864 that forbids abortions except to save a mother's life. The law also punishes abortion providers with prison time. It could be weeks before the ban takes effect, and a state official said that she won't enforce it. For now, abortions will continue to be available through 15 weeks of pregnancy. But groups in Arizona fighting for abortion access are trying to get this issue on the ballot in November. They want a ballot question that, if passed, would amend the state's constitution to protect abortion rights. And today, they said that they've gotten enough signatures to put it on the ballot. This ruling has also forced some Arizona Republicans to walk back their previous statements supporting an abortion ban. That includes Carrie Lake, the staunch Trump ally who's running in one of the most closely watched Senate races this cycle. In a statement on Tuesday, she said she believes the issue of abortion should be decided on a state level and not federally. And she called Tuesday's ruling, quote, out of step with Arizonans. That's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced by Sabi Robinson with help from Emma Talkoff. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Lucy Perkins. Thank you also to Carla Spartos. If you are looking for the latest updates on the big news of the day, check out our morning news briefing, The 7. We bring you through the 7 stories that you need to know about every weekday morning by 7 a.m. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.